Searching know, oh my being, please disclose me. I can't hide from your seeing, oh God. Show me love and mercy so free.
God, we all know that God has given us opportunity through the gospel to realize once more the all power that we had with him in the beginning. The gospel is all about restoring the beauty and the glory, the majesty bestowed upon us from the foundation of the world, from the beginning. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. When the angel of God appeared to Mary, the statements to Mary is very revealing. It reveals the plan of God for each and every one of us. No matter where you are, where you find yourself, no matter the conditions that surround you, no matter how lowly at times we may think of ourselves, this thing does not alter the ultimate will of God for our lives. Praise God. The angel in Luke chapter 1 announced to Mary glad tidings of the birth of of a great child whose name will be Jesus. And this one Jesus was to occupy, or is to occupy, the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom has no end. Now, I'll just quickly read this thing. I'm aware that not all of us, this message go very far, and not everybody knows the scriptures. So I should not assume that everybody has read the scriptures. So I'll just read from Luke, the book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 30. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Let's stop there. The 1 million messages that can come out of these few scriptures that I read. Uncountable messages. Showing the manifold wisdom of God. Hallelujah. God's wisdom is so manifold, so wide, so infinite, that you cannot contain it in a doctrine. You cannot put it into a container, a religious container, or a container of beliefs. That's why it is good that we exercise ourselves, humble ourselves, to have more of a listening ear than just to criticize and, you know, and reject things that you hear. We have to exercise our ears to hear. Hallelujah. The anointing in us teaches us all things. But we must understand that the anointing in us flows through all. That one Spirit of God, that anointing flows through all. If we place ourselves, exercise ourselves to listen well, you will always hear the Spirit speaking. See, and that Spirit teaches us all things. The Spirit teaches us all things. It's the Spirit that is the teacher. Jesus Christ says, call no man teacher. For there's one teacher, one master, and that is the Christ. And that Christ is the anointing that flows through all. Hallelujah. So when we realize this, we'll be able to humble ourselves and have listening ears. Listening ears. As you move on in life and in the faith, you will discover that God comes in many flavors. Hallelujah. Just like the flavors you see in trees. Trees have different flavors. You have some trees will bring forth oranges, some will bring forth grapes, some will bring forth pineapples, some will give forth apples. But at the end of the day, they are good fruit in different flavors. Fruits to be taken with thanksgiving. Hallelujah. So if we exercise ourselves to listen, we'll always hear God speak. Hallelujah. Because His knowledge, His wisdom filleth all in all. Hallelujah. His wisdom filleth all in all like the water covering the seas. If you look at the sea, you see that in the sea there is no particle, no space. Everything is just water. That is how the wisdom of God covers all. Because besides Him there is nothing. Praise God. Hallelujah. So this angel announced to Mary, like it is announcing to us today. You know, the angel is announcing to us today. See, that out of us will come forth that one, the anointed one, which is Jesus. Out of us, out of our womb, will come forth the anointed one who will sit upon the throne of David. And he will what? He will rule over the house of David, of Jacob, and his kingdom has no end. Praise God. We should bear in mind that the throne of David is actually a symbol of the throne of God. Because when the Israelites left the land of Egypt, God never intended that the Israelites would ever have a king apart from him. God was their king up until the time when the children of Israel wanted to have a king of their own, when they wanted to be like the nations among them, around them. You know, the nations around them had a king, always had their king, you know. But Israel failed to realize that they were different from the other nations around them. So they asked for a king, and in the process they got Saul, their first king. And eventually David came upon the throne. David was the anointed, the chosen of God. And he sat upon the throne in the midst of Israel, which we know is the throne of God. Hallelujah. Symbolically speaking, that was the throne of God. As long as David walked in perfect harmony with God, as long as he was obedient with God, David was supposed to be higher than all the kings of the earth. David was supposed to be exalted above all. All nations were supposed to be subdued under Israel, as long as David walked in harmony with God. Hallelujah. Bear in mind that these things are shadows, these things are parables. These things only refer to greater things concerning you and I, concerning an eternal throne. Hallelujah. See, when that prophecy came, of course, the prophecy has always been in the air of a coming Messiah, a coming king. Even the Israelites looked forward to somebody who would sit on a physical throne in Israel, but it never came to pass. Now, this was what they expected of Jesus. During his ministry, there is a time when they picked up Jesus and tried to force him to be king over them. They tried this thing several times, but Jesus Christ always withdrew for them. Because in reality, the peoples of this world have no idea of what God's throne is, what God's kingdom is. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ realized that his throne was not a physical throne somewhere in the Middle East, but rather it was a spiritual throne. It was a dimension of all power and all authority that he inherited from the Father. Praise God. So that thing that happened, that prophecy to Mary, is symbolic. That favor today, that favor that rested upon Mary, rests upon every man upon the earth today. All that is required is that we just believe the word of God. All that is just required that we hear the word of this messenger of God today, hear the voice of the Spirit declaring the favor of God unto you, saying that you shall bring forth Jesus. You shall bring forth the anointed one of God, who shall sit upon that eternal throne of God, and who rules throughout all eternity, a kingdom that is without end. Praise God. Hallelujah. So I'm going to show you some things now concerning this throne of God. If we go quickly to the book of 1 Kings chapter 10 verse 18, we know the son of David, King Solomon, was a fanciful king, colorful king, the wisest of all the kings of Israel, the wisest man upon the earth, endowed with so much wisdom. Hallelujah, praise God. But I tell you, that the least in God's kingdom is wiser than Solomon. Because the wisdom of Solomon was limited to an earthly understanding. Solomon didn't have the insight, that spiritual wisdom that obtains in God's kingdom. Paul often prayed that we'll be filled with the wisdom of God. Filled with that celestial wisdom of God. And that wisdom is not the type of wisdom that Solomon had. Praise God. If Solomon had that wisdom, he would have never tasted of death. Hallelujah. Praise God. So Solomon built a throne in Israel, a spectacular throne. Let's read it. 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 18. Moreover, the king made a great throne of ivory and overlaid it with the best gold. And the throne had 6 steps. And the top of the throne was round behind. And there were stairs on either side of the place of the seat. And 2 lions stood beside the stairs. And 12 lions stood there on the one side and on the other side upon the 6 steps. There was not like the made in any kingdom. Praise God. So here is the fanciful king making a throne. That's the throne of the king in Israel. Now, I just mentioned these things to cause you to have an understanding on why these things are placed in the Bible. They are not just placed in the Bible there like that for nothing. Praise God. As Solomon instructed the builders to make that throne, in reality, it was that same anointing of God. It was the anointing of God, the Spirit of God, working in Solomon, causing him to construct that throne. Have it. Solomon obviously did not get the full understanding of what the Spirit was indicating to him. Solomon went on to build that physical structure with 6 steps, and upon it all there was a throne of gold and ivory. Ivory overlaid with best gold. Hallelujah. And on the 2 sides of the throne, you had 1 lion here on the left and 1 lion on the right. And while ascending up those steps, on either side of the steps, there was a lion. So you had 12 lions. 2 lions for every step. And it was a marvelous, glorious throne. The best at that point in time. And of course, we know that many people came from all over the world to behold the glory of Solomon's kingdom. To behold the temple, to behold that throne. It was out of that throne that Solomon made wise judgment. Great judgments. Many people came from all over the world to listen to his wisdom, to listen to him speak as he sat upon that throne. The tenure of Solomon was a tenure of peace, a tenure of riches, glory. There is no king that enjoyed peace as much as Solomon. Hallelujah. So when you look at that throne, there is a message there. There is a message nested in this kind of thing. Hallelujah. Some people accuse me that I try to spiritualize everything. That I, preach too much revelation knowledge. But look, we are all different. We cannot be the same. See, I met a brother the other day in America. He came over to Italy. Most of you might know him, Brother Sigler. And I tell you, he has got a kind of anointing that, you know, is so wonderful. God used him in my own life personally, and I benefited a lot from his ministry. Praise God. There's one time I told him, look, I definitely cannot preach like you. The moment I try to preach like you, I'll make a fool of myself. And you know what he told me? He says, we can never be the same. We are all different. And it will be boring if we are all the same. So there is no way we can have the same flavor. There is no way we can preach the same way. It's impossible. And he once wrote me a note that, you know, the way the Spirit moves me, that he has never seen such kind of anointing. So there is a way I preach that he cannot preach. And there is a way he preaches I can't preach. But at the end of the day, we all benefit from each other in love. We edify one another. I'm able to receive from you and benefit from you, and he's able to receive from me and benefit from him. Praise God. So never mind, let us just pick out what the Spirit is saying to us through these messages. And that's all. Hallelujah. So we have this throne here, the throne of Solomon. Six steps. And upon the six steps, you have the throne. Before the king will ever attain to that top level and sit upon the throne, the queen will have to ascend. He will have to walk through those six steps to arrive at that seventh level where he can sit and administer judgment. Like I told you, the throne of God, or the throne in Israel, was likened to that the throne of God. It's like the throne of God. Because he that sits on that throne was supposed to live in alignment with the will of God. Hallelujah. Now that throne in reality is symbolic of the eternal throne in the heavens. It is symbolic of the eternal throne of God in the heavens. Hallelujah. And God is trying to educate us today how we can ascend back and sit upon that throne. If the throne of Solomon was in reality the real eternal throne of God, it will remain there to this very day. But I tell you, if you go around Israel and comb, search for that throne, you will never find it. Meaning that it was only a temporal throne. It was only something that just is not real, a shadow. See, but there remains an eternal throne, a throne that never passes away, an incorruptible throne, an indestructible throne that never passes away. And that is the throne that we are called to ascend and sit upon today. Praise God. We all have to climb those steps and to get to that seventh level where we can sit down and rule with the Father, because this is what the Father ordained for us from the foundation of the world. Praise God. Hallelujah. He that sits upon the throne, he's rested. You know why you sit upon the throne? You know you are rested? Have you heard of God's rest? God's rest. There remains a rest for God. Rest of God. For the people of God. These are those people who are sent to the throne. See it? It becomes a place of all authority and all power. It becomes the dimension of infinite possibilities. It comes the dimension where we reign with the Father and nothing can take away our peace and our joy. It's a realm of absolute immortality, joy and peace. No turbulence, no problem in that kind of place. Hallelujah. Nothing like fear. Hallelujah. Praise God. This is the throne that we are all called to inherit today. For we are called to ascend and to sit upon that throne. Hallelujah. Like I've said, there is that throne in the spirit. It's a dimension. It's a level that we all have to attain to consciously in the spirit. Hallelujah. And this is the place of all power that Christ, the gospel of Christ, has come to reveal to the whole of mankind. Come unto me. Come unto me. I am the way. Hallelujah. This is the gospel. Jesus Christ, after his ministry, declared to his disciples that all power in heaven and earth has been given over to me, meaning that he sits upon the throne of God. Praise God. And today, we all have to follow that same path of Jesus back into the place of all power and all glory and all authority. Praise God. This is what the Spirit is here to teach us. This is what the Spirit is here to educate us on. Hallelujah. If you look at the messages in the Bible, you have seven trumpets. You have seven messages. And if you study the contents of the seven messages in the Bible, you will discover that you have the first six messages, and the seventh message is a kind of summary of all the other six messages. And the seventh message talks about inheriting the throne of God. Now let's quickly read that together. Book of Revelations, chapter 3. I'll just read the last verses of the message to the church in Laodicea. Now this is the seventh message. The seventh trumpet. Revelation chapter 3, verse 21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me on what? In my throne, even as I also overcame, and I am sat down with my Father in his throne. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. Are you listening? Listen to what the Spirit, that this is the ultimate promise of God. You have the first six messages, the first message to the church in Ephesus, the second message to the church in Smyrna, the third message to the church in Pergamos. Hallelujah. The fourth message to the church in Thyatira. The fifth message to the church in, what do you call it? Sardis. Hallelujah. The sixth message to the church in Philadelphia. If you study those messages, they are all instructions on how we should return back to our original spiritual states. These are all messages instructing us on how we can become overcomers, how we can overcome the world. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ says, I have overcome the world. Now, every child of God must overcome the world. Now, the world is the illusion of our human identity, human life upon the earth. Illusion of mortality. And to lay a hold on that what? True eternal life. That spiritual life that we had with God from the beginning. we are plunged into a thick darkness in our humanity. Our humanity represents ignorance and darkness. And herein lies the reason why many of us are powerless today. We're powerless because we have what? Been submerged into outer darkness, causing us to live according to the flesh, thinking that we are something separate from God. See, but the Spirit is here to edify us and to cause an ascent in each and every one of us, so that we get back to that place where we can sit once more as God ruling in the creation. Hallelujah. Very, very important we know these things. If you go quickly to the book of Revelation chapter 4, hallelujah, John the Apostle had the privilege of viewing things to come. He had the privilege of seeing things to come spiritually for you and I. He had a peep into the spirit, into the ages to come, into the worlds to come in Christ. But now we know that this present heaven and this present earth will pass away, and there is a new one that is coming to be into view. The present heaven and the present earth represents this system of pure darkness. It will pass away. Now, he's not talking about the physical world passing away. See, but he's talking about that dimension in which we have lived. That ignorance which we lived in, all that passes away, and we enter back into a dimension of pure light. So John the Apostle saw into that dimension. He saw into the things to come. That's why he was taken up into heaven. Revelation chapter 4 verse 1. It says, after this I looked, and behold, the door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were, what? Of a trumpet, talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be what hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, the throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne, and he that sat on the throne was to look like a jasper and sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders seated, clothed in white raiment, and they had upon their heads crowns of gold. Hallelujah. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, voices, and there was seen seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now these things might shock you. Some of these things that you hear at times, they are troubling, but you must listen to what the Spirit is saying. John the Apostle was seeing into the future. Oh, hallelujah. He was seeing things to come. Hallelujah. These are things that must be hereafter. Things to come. And this thing must be fulfilled in our lives individually. After all the rebellion, after all the, going to and fro, this thing must eventually be fulfilled in our lives. Hallelujah. He saw one seated upon the throne. See, there's a tendency to think that probably there's a throne somewhere in the sky, and God is sitting there upon the throne looking at you and I and whatever, and all that kind of stuff. But we're greatly mistaken. Because those of us who are sent with Christ do sit upon the throne of God. What John the Apostle was seeing was the completely redeemed consciousness that you and I standing in Christ, where we sit and we rule upon the throne of God. See, we have to come to the realization of the mystery of our oneness with God. Without God, we do not exist, and without, you know, us, God does not exist. Are you listening? Without us, there is no God. If we do not exist, God does not exist. And if God does not exist, we do not exist. So we must come to recognize this mystery. Hallelujah. Praise God. You see, we descended so low, we died. We descended so low, and we lost all trace of the fact that we have always been in God. Hallelujah. So the idea now is that we all ascend back to that throne and sit upon that throne as it was from the beginning. We are the one that sit upon that throne. The gospel is here to restore us back to that place. But we must ascend. Hallelujah. We must climb the steps and ascend to that place. Because if we are not seated upon that throne, we are still in outer darkness. If we still have fear, if we still have sin consciousness, we have not attained to that place. Praise God. Some people say that it is impossible to be perfect. Well, that is their own version, and I don't argue with them. I don't believe in arguing with anybody. See it, but my own belief and what I have seen, that I know that it is possible to be perfect as He is perfect. It is possible to walk perfect, immaculate as He is upon the earth. It is possible. Praise God. It is that perfection in us that God wants to reveal to the world. Hallelujah. That morning star attribute. The morning star is perfect light. Hallelujah. No trace of darkness in it. That is the light in you that God wants to reveal to the world. But we must all ascend. There must be those steps to climb. Praise God. See, our ascension is more like a confirmation to the spiritual identity that we had in God, or that we have eternally in God. We must all, like Jesus said, I go to the Father. You know, when Jesus Christ resurrected and He met, I think, Mary or one of the disciples, one of the ladies, He said, I go to my Father and your Father, my God and your God. It's an ascension into God, an ascension into the Father. And that is an ascension that you and I must all make. Each and every one of us must all make that ascension back to God, that ascension back into the Father. And in that ascension, we sit upon the throne. Hallelujah. If you look at the messages to the churches, which is spiritual instruction, these are instructions that come to, you know, how do I put it? Edify us in Christ to spiritualize us. Praise God. As you begin to ascend those steps, you begin to remember from where you are falling. Remember from where you are falling. You fell from that throne. You fell from that dimension of light, of perfection. You fell out from God. You fell out from the Father. Remember from whence you've fallen and begin an ascent. Hallelujah. Be faithful unto death. Be faithful unto the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. Be faithful unto the death of your humanity, for we all died in Christ. Be faithful unto the death of your carnal life. And I will give you what? That crown of gold that you had when you sat upon the throne. Hallelujah. Reject the doctrine of Balaam, which is the deceitful doctrines of this world, the wisdom of this age, which causes men to go after gain rather than godliness. Hallelujah. Which places idols, things that are not God, before men. Which causes men to fornicate. You know, fornication spiritually, when you walk in the flesh, you have spiritual fornication. When you are united in flesh, you are united with this world. That is fornication spiritually. Because spiritually speaking, we are married to Christ. We are one with the Spirit. Hallelujah. Reject the doctrine of Jezebel. All these are doctrines of, you know, spiritual lies, spiritual wisdom that ties us to idols, things that are not God, that causes us to fornicate. Begin to receive that pure celestial wisdom of Christ in the light. And I will give you the rod of authority so that you can sit on my throne and rule over the nations. Oh, hallelujah. Be watchful once more. Strengthen the things that are about to die in you. Be watchful. Become spiritual. Become once more alert about in the spirit. Hallelujah. And you'll be once more clothed in your light garments. And you can stand in the company of those who inherit that throne. Continue in the word of my patience. Continue in confessing Christ. Continue in the truth. Continue in confessing Christ by walking as Christ. Walking in the Spirit. Put on the nature of your Father. And there's an open door for you. Give you a new name. Hallelujah. The name of the Father. And the name of the New Jerusalem. That spiritual city of light. I'll cause you to enter in. Praise God. It's a continuity, a letting go of the attachments to this outer world, and a laying a hold of that eternal life that is being revealed to us today by the grace of God. Receive this thing by faith and confess it by faith. Hallelujah. These are the works of God. When Paul says that we should labor to enter our rest, the way God labored to enter our rest. See, it's all about climbing those steps. Some people who are young might think that climbing a step might be easy. But you ask a man who is in his 80s or in his 90s to climb up a staircase, and he will tell you that's great work. See, but when he gets up there and he's seated, he rests. And the rules. So the works of God It's all about exercising ourselves in truth. Not standing the opposition, not standing the many, many contradictions that we face in this world. Contradictions in the body. Contradiction from voices without. Everything wants to, you know, fight against the revelation of that God in you. Everything fights against it. But we must ascend. Praise God. We rule and we reign when we know all things are working together for our good. We rule and we reign when we see all things are beautiful. We rule and we reign when there is no fear of tomorrow. Hallelujah. We rule and we reign when there is no more torment and pain, emotional pain, sorrow. Hallelujah. We rule and we reign when we are no more worried about relations after the flesh, those who are dead or those who are alive or whatever. Because you know everything is under control. Hallelujah. We rule and we reign when we enter into the realm of impossible, you know, infinite impossibilities. Everything are possible. That power of God, the totality of God's power works in us. Hallelujah. That kind of power can only enter into the hands of those who have been totally converted and have become innocent lambs. Babes, if that kind of power was to enter into the man of the flesh, of the earthly man, you know, the power would be used to oppress his fellow brother. Because what reigns in this world, or what obtains in this world, is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. That is all that obtains in this world. Besides that, there is nothing. And when a man walks in that dimension and obtains that kind of power, you can be rest assured that he only abuses it. Praise God. See, but the man of the flesh cannot attain to that kind of place, because to obtain to that place, there must be pure innocence and pure love. Undiluted love. Undiluted innocence. Just like babies. They are the ones that have the access to the realm of infinite possibilities. Where there is no condemnation in the heart. Where there is no guilt. Where you can stand immaculate, then all things are possible. Hallelujah. In that state, the frame of mind changes. Your priorities changes. See it? You don't use power to get a swimming pool in front of your house the next morning. All power in heaven and earth is given unto me. I want a swimming pool. I want a Jaguar. I want a Rolls Royce. Your priorities become higher than that. If I have a Rolls Royce, it might be for the moment. See, but your priorities increase in Christ consciousness. Praise God. So the question somebody will ask now, but how do you attain to that place of all power? It's all about ascension. It's all about walking, climbing those steps back into that seventh dimension of pure light. Hallelujah. It's all about conforming ourselves to Christ. It's a continuous confession, walking. Hallelujah. Continuity in the faith. Continuity in the light. That is all. See it? In the message, or some of the messages, I think the message to the church in Thyatira, and to the message to the church in Philadelphia. It says, hold fast what you've heard. Let no one take away, you know, what I've given to you. Hold fast to what you've heard until I come. Hold fast until I come. So many of us, now I too personally have been through this thing many times. We get discouraged along the line. We get deviated along the line. But we must hold fast. Continue. Hold it. Stand firm. Till I come. Till I in you. Till I, Christ, come. Hold fast. Continuity, continuity. Prayer, prayer, prayer. Continuity, 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 continuity. Hallelujah. Standing in the light. Fellowship in the light. Continuity. Not being carried away by the outer darkness of this world. That's how we find ourselves back in the front. Oh, hallelujah. Nothing should hinder our progress into the light. Let us not look back into this world because it is finished. It's dead. There's nothing out there. Nothing. It's dead. Oh, praise God. If you look clearly into the creation of the world, see, there were 6 days that God did work. Those are the 6 steps. 6 days that God worked. On the seventh day, he rested. Now, people think that the creation is something like this outer world. Probably God created this world today. He created the sun today, then he slept, then he created. All that is just, how do I put it? They're just fairy tales. The emergence of the thing seen is not what Genesis chapter 1 talks about. Genesis chapter 1 is an allegory of the work of the Spirit in us to bring us back to the throne of God where we rule and reign in God. Hallelujah. The seventh day is the seventh realm, is the dimension of pure light in God. Hallelujah. Where we sit and rule just like Adam ruled and reigned in the Garden of Eden. The Garden of Eden is simply an allegory of you and I in the rest of God. Ruling and reigning in the paradise of God. Ruling as the morning star of God. Ruling as the light of God. Ruling in the day of God. Hallelujah. Ruling as the cloud of God. Ruling as the plantings of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. We must get to understand that those 7 days of work are the 7 steps back to the throne of God. And we must, these things must be fulfilled in our lives. Let there be light. Let there be a revelation of Christ in me. Let there be a revelation of divinity in me. Let there be a revelation of that true I that is in me. Hallelujah. And as I get that revelation of who I am, the day dawns upon me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As I do the second works, the second step, I separate the waters from the waters, and out of the waters come forth the clouds of God, which are above the firmament of God. For we all shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the clouds. The clouds talk of a spiritual body, celestial bodies. For we are not terrestrial creatures, but we are celestial creatures. Hallelujahs. Hallelujah. The third step, the plant is the trees of God appear. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. The fourth day, God gives us wings to fly in the firmament of the heavens. The fifth day, the morning star appears. The stars of God, the sun appears. The celestial bodies appear. Hallelujah. The light of the world appears. Do you know that we are the morning star? praise God. It's all about bringing forth the incorruptible attributes, the celestial, internal, eternal attributes of God within us. The book of Peter talks about the dawning of the morning star in our hearts. Praise God. Jesus Christ gave the parable, says that at the end of the age, the righteous are what? They shall shine like the sun in their Father's kingdom. That is the morning star attribute. Just like Jesus Christ shone upon this, you know, the mountain of transfiguration like the sun. He shone like the sun. Hallelujah. That is the morning star attribute. For we are pure light. Pure spiritual consciousness. No natural, carnal, material consciousness. Totally delivered from this world. Hallelujah. Celestial creatures. Celestial beings. Declaring the glory of God. Praise God. On the sixth day, God created man. Do you know that in our humanity, we are not men? In our humanity, we are like beasts. But God created man. Man, hallelujah. Man with his nature. That's why he writes the name, his name upon his forehead with the nature of God, like God. Praise God, for we must have the name of the Father upon us, the nature of God upon us, in the image of God and in the likeness of God. This corresponds with the sixth. The sixth day corresponds with the sixth message. We talked about the new name. I'll give you a new name. It's only with that new name, with that new nature, with the nature of God, with the nature of the Father, can we enter into God's kingdom. Because flesh and blood cannot inherit God's kingdom. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the realm of God. Hallelujah. See, when those 6 days of work are completed in us, it's all about spiritualization. It's all about the emergence of the divine attributes of God in us. That is the work of God. Those are the steps that we can take back to the front of God. Hallelujah. On the Sabbath day we are rested. On the seventh day we are rested. On the seventh day we are in the Garden of Eden. On the seventh day all power in heaven and earth is bestowed upon us. No more fear. No more worries. No more inferiority complex. No more cares of life. No more worry for tomorrow. How will I eat? What will I wear? How will I get a job? Because all things work for your good. All things are created for you and by you for your pleasure. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Hallelujah. We pray to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Heavenly Father. We pray for that spirit of wisdom and revelation. Strengthen us in the inner man. Lift us up, Father. Lift us up, Father. Lift us up, Father. Lift us up, Father. Hallelujah. Lift your people across the earth. Lift them up, hallelujah. Lift them up, hallelujah. Let there be mighty revelation. Let there be a gushing water flowing in the hearts of the people today. Let there be awakening in your people, O God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thanks for your love and your grace. Thanks for your favor. Thanks for your goodwill towards us. For you only we accomplish that which you have proposed for the foundation of the world in your people. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Love and mercy so free, Elohim. Elohim, keep me close to your leading. Hold me, let me fall at your feet, Lord. Clothe me in the presence of peace, Elohim. accepting.